Did you know you can now access the Abiding Together podcast on Spotify? In the mobile or desktop app, all you need to do is click search and look for Abiding Together.
This is a Pasco Media production. Please visit pascomedia.com.
Hello and welcome to the Abiding Together podcast, where we desire to provide a place of connection, rest, and encouragement for those of you who are on the journey with Jesus Christ as we are on the journey into Easter now, thank God. My name is Sister Miriam James, and I am the Easter Bunny right now, and I am joined, as always, by my lovely, lovely, beautiful co-host, Heather Kim and Michelle Bensinger, who are also enjoying Easter. Thank you very much, Heather. I think you could say that we're enjoying Easter.
Oh, goodness. I love what you just said. And we're in Easter. Thank God. It's been a long road to get there, but we are finally here. Yes, basking in the Easter glory for sure. How are you,
Easter.
Michelle?
Easter.
I am wonderful. I just want to exhale. It is finished. You know, Easter is done. I mean, Lent is done. And let's just join, enjoy this Easter octave forever, for a long season. Let's just celebrate, you know. Yes. Here's to jelly beans and Easter grass and all of that good stuff. Here we go.
Stick those beans right up your nose and just keep them there. You know what I'm saying? So
just dear listeners, sister's a bit feisty this morning. We're all keeping it real.
I really want to put something like, do not let the habit fool you. She is fierce and feisty, baby. Like, that is what I want to say half the time.
Hey, I just want our listeners to know that Michelle Bensinger was holding a book hostage for me that she was going to give me in total gratuitous freedom, but later on I had to do something to get it. So I did what she wanted, and I texted her, I'm like, all right, send me the book now, man. Like, get on it.
So do you know what she texts me back? She says, you can hate the game, but you can't hate the player. Like, she texts me these gangster text backs. So when you are up for canonization of your sainthood, I am going to save all these text messages. Threads to say, look at the real Sister Miriam. There you go.
Sister, you're the best. I love you so much.
Where's the heroic virtue? Holy cow.
Yeah. You make me laugh so much. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's just good.
Yeah, it is really good.
Oh, well, you know what? Speaking of good things, we're going to talk about, a lot of times our listeners ask us questions and we will do a Q&A at some point, but today we're going to talk about our favorite things. So these, because it's all about the sound of music, as it always is. So these are a few of my favorite things. And since Michelle is our favorite, as we all know, we're going to let her run this show. Michelle Bensinger, are you ready to run our favorite things?
I am. I'm just laughing at you. I am ready to run our favorite things. So we decided, since we had just gotten done with the Life of the Beloved book study, which was an amazing journey, and it was beautiful. I mean, we can just not say great enough things about our podcast listeners. We love you guys. You are amazing. But the way that we got to journey with you was really something special this Lent. Like, we do not take that for granted in the least bit. We are just really thankful for you all. So we appreciate that. But we thought it'd be fun today to do something a little bit more lighthearted, because we've been through this intense heart journey and we want to do something that's just kind of fun. Let's celebrate the Easter octave. So we decided to come and talk about our favorite things, but they are letting me be the mediator of this.
We're a little afraid right now, but we're going to trust her.
I'm so afraid right now.
Yes. So when we were going over pre-recording, they're like, well, which questions are we doing? And finally I said, enough. I'm going to ask you, and you're not going to know which questions you're doing, and it's going to be the element of surprise. They put me in charge, so this will probably be the first and last time this happens. But anyway, it'll be fun. So let's just start off with a fun, easy question. What is your favorite movie comedy, Heather?
There's this old movie, I think it's maybe like in the 80s or something, called The Private Eyes with Tim Conway and Don Knotts. And I remember watching it as a kid, and honestly, I haven't seen it since I was little. So it's making me want to watch it again. But I just remember laughing so hard and watching this movie over and over again and just dying laughing. And I love Tim Conway and Don Knotts. So that's my favorite comedy still to this day. I'm like, I don't think I've ever laughed that hard at a movie, ever.
Isn't it great to laugh? I love that. I love that feeling where your stomach hurts and like you can't breathe. Like, that's just awesome.
Oh, totally.
That should happen more often in life, I think.
I agree.
It's there. What about you, sister?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think my tastes have changed over the years. But you know what? One thing I do like to listen to is I love comedians. And I really love Tim Hawkins, who's a Christian comedian. And he is so funny. I know a lot of people like Jim Gaffigan. I like Jim Gaffigan, too. But I love Tim Hawkins. And I can listen. I look at his stuff on YouTube. And he's one of my favorite comedians, I'd have to say. He's just really, really funny. He sings. And he's just great. So if you haven't checked out Tim Hawkins, I would totally check him out in that regard. That sounded weird for me to say that. But you know what I mean? Anyway, so here we go. Yeah.
That's great.
I think for me, I'm going more with the romantic comedy genre. You know, and it's one of those movies where I own the movie, but it doesn't matter if it is still on, like if it comes on like cable or dish or whatever, I will still stop and watch it, even though I own the movie and have seen it 25 million times. And I think for me, it has to be Sweet Home Alabama. I love that movie. I love that movie. And there's a line in it that Reese Witherspoon says to her husband there, "Why do you make me be so mean to you?" And my sisters and I say that back and forth to each other. "Why do you make me be so mean to you?" Or at the very end, yeah. And there's another line. It says, why do you want to marry me so I can kiss you anytime I want?" And so I love it. It's Southern. She's a designer. Everything about it is great. So yeah, for me, Sweet Home Alabama. Okay, so what is your favorite dramatic movie, Sister Miriam?
Well, you know, I'm a huge Lord of the Rings fan. So anytime that trilogy is on, I've seen it so many times. I just can't. You know, it's one of my favorites. Probably is my favorite story ever, Lord of the Rings. So I'm in it to win it. I've watched the extended version a million times and love it. So that's my favorite.
That's good. That's up there for my favorites too. I can't exactly just narrow it in on one. This is like really impossible. So I would say Lord of the Rings too, but I would also say Braveheart because my heritage is Scottish, and so when that movie came out, it's so funny. My dad has a really thick Scottish accent, and he hates it when people put on a Scottish accent. You know, he just can't deal with it. Mm-hmm. So before the movie came out, I remember asking him, "Dad, are you going to go see this movie? I heard it's really good." And he was like, "Absolutely not. I'm not going to sit around and listen to Mel Gibson try to put on a Scottish accent. It'll drive me crazy." So anyway, eventually he saw it, and I said, "So how was it?" And he said, "Oh, his accent was better than mine." It was really funny.
Nice.
No, but I love that. That movie is really a beautiful movie as well. I mean, I know it's super violent, but that's a great movie. How about you, Michelle?
So good.
Heather, why don't you scream freedom for us in your Scottish accent? Like, you know, see how that works out for us.
How about not? Okay, Michelle, go.
And moving on.
And for me, for drama, it is always Pride and Prejudice. Elizabeth Bennet's Mr. Darcy coming through.
That's so good.
You know, The Mist and the Dawn and, Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, you have bewitched me body and soul. I love the book. I love the movie. I like the BBC version. I like the Keira Knightley version. Like, I don't discriminate. Mm-hmm. And so I like all versions. So, yeah, totally. Pride and Prejudice. Okay. So now, like, if you had, like, one heroine that you relate with really well, mm-hmm. who would it be, you know, that you love?
Well, I do. I love Elizabeth Bennet. And I love how feisty she is. I love how smart she is. There's so many things I admire in her that I wish I had more in myself. And so I just love her, just her bravery and her willingness just to speak the truth and just to be fierce. I love that. But I also love Wonder Woman too. The latest version of Wonder Woman, I've seen it 4 times, if not more than that. And so obviously you see like a theme there. But yeah, so I'd say Elizabeth Bennet and Wonder Woman are the women heroines that I admire and I would like to be more like, I think. Mm.
That's Michelle, awesome. Who would you choose? Because you probably have a million, I would think.
Yeah, dude.
I do have a million. I mean, like Sister Elizabeth Bennet is up there, you know, like her sassiness, but her tenacity. I also love Scarlett O'Hara in Gone with the Wind, just her southernness and her brashness and just how she feels about land and environment and beauty and all of that. But she was a survivor also. And also Scout and To Kill a Mockingbird. You know, I think there's something when you read a novel or a book when you're young and it's forming you. So Scout, To Kill a Mockingbird, and Lucy and Chronicles of Narnia, I both read those when I was younger, you know. And they were both some of my first literature novels. And I think they were the ones that both helped me fall in love with reading so much that I can't –
I don't understand people that don't get emotionally involved with their characters in books. And so, like, I get very emotionally involved. So, yes. So, both of those. Yeah, so, you know, I always have more than one. What about you, Heather?
Well, I saw the question. I was like, what's my favorite heroine? I was like, I don't do drugs, so I don't know. I don't even know why she's asking this question.
Welcome to our real life, people. This is exactly what happens.
No, so I,
favorite heroine.
You can tell Heather doesn't read.
There's
much.
An E on the end of it. I mean, can you not read? Oh my gosh, hey, you're killing me
I read words and things. No, so growing up, you know, Chronicles of Narnia was my favorite book series. I read that over and over and over again. I still have such a love for it. I'm going through the books again with my youngest. So I would say Lucy. I love Lucy and her. Yeah. She was so, being the youngest, but she was so brave and open and kind. And yeah, she just kept, she kept the goal in mind. You know, she just kept pursuing Aslan and kept pursuing the good. So Lucy. And that's my favorite book, Chronicles of Narnia, for sure.
And I think it's really important to realize that. I love to ask those questions. And when I do, like, smaller women's gatherings and things like that, you know, this is the type of a question that I like to ask. And if people come over to my house for dinner, you know, I always love to ask dinner questions. And they're like, oh, no, what you gonna ask me now? But I think, like, when you look at the books that you read and the literature you and the characters you relate to, there is a reason why. Like, God is stirring something in your heart.
It's
like,
so true.
Pay attention to these things, you know. Yeah. That's one of the reasons, like, we are doing this favorite things. It's not just to say, hey, look at us, these favorite things. But for all of us and our listeners to pay attention, you know, the things that stir our hearts are the usually some of the things that help us come alive and that the Lord has put in there and designed us for a reason, for our unique calling and for our unique design and all of that. So,
and there's certain elements that speak of heaven too, like it's the larger story, especially when we talk about books and movies. Like, of course, maybe not the comedy part, but there's a part of that too. There's going to be so much laughter in heaven, and we have to remember that that heaven and what God is calling us into, what our hearts are made for, isn't dreary, and you know, like, it isn't like going to be boring for eternity. That all of these things, the good things, God is all things that are true and beautiful and good. And that's what he's calling us to. So it speaks of the bigger story, you know, especially movies and books that engage us and stir our hearts. Like, they speak of the bigger story, the real story, you know, of the gospel. So.
Oh, yeah.
And that's so true. And can I just piggyback on what y'all have said? I think it's really true for us to pay attention to that, because it does. It speaks something to our destiny. There's a reason why we love what we love. And there's a reason why what repulses us repulses us. It speaks us on both ends of, like, so I think for us to pay attention to that. And I know Dr. Bob Schutz, you guys know I do a lot of ministry with their ministry. And that one of his retreats, his retreat on Holy Desire, he starts out that whole retreat with that very question of, you know, what character in the story do you most identify with? And I remember when I first started looking at that, part of it was scary. It was, like, scary to be that honest. You know, and we have those parts where we ache and we yearn, and we also have those parts where we have broken dreams in our hearts. And, you know, so often, you know, maybe we ask ourselves, you know, am I too old to dream still? Or am I dream stupid? Or does this part that still sings in my heart, is this worth it? And it is worth it, because it's singing, like you said, Heather, the eternal song. And so we can't stop dreaming. We can't stop desiring. Like, that's the heart of who we are. So, yeah, I just want to say that, like, it's really true. If to pay attention to that, like, what do you love? What do you, amen.
That's good.
That is great. Okay, for the next question, y'all, I'm still in control. So for the next question,
help us, please, send help now. Send help. Help.
Yes.
Listeners, help.
Yes. Seriously, she sounds like she's being kidnapped. What is your favorite saint? And what is your favorite saint at this time of your life right now in this season? And I've been thinking a lot about this. Bishop Bill Walk, who is my bishop here in Pensacola, Tallahassee, said something the other day, which I really have been thinking about. He said, he was talking about how he was talking to our seminarians, and he said, one of the seminarians said to him, saints, we don't choose saints, saints choose us. Have you ever thought about that? And I've really been thinking about that. Like, saints choose us, you know, to intercede for us. We think we choose them, but what about them choosing us from heaven? And I kind of love that sentiment, that thinking, you know, that our cloud of witnesses above us. So praying for us and cheering us on as we run our race here on earth. So who are your favorite saints? Or who is your favorite saint right now in this season? Heather.
Okay, not one, but three come to mind. Sorry. Michelle's look a rule breaker, so I know she's going to let me do that.
She's a rule breaker,
man. Yeah.
Rule breaker.
Seriously.
So I would say from a younger age, John Paul II was definitely my favorite. I went to World Youth Day with him in Denver when I was in, I was a junior in high school, and it was absolutely life-changing. And just his message about not being ground down by mediocrity and the way that he lived his life and how he was so courageous, you know, in his pursuit of God and his priesthood and everything that he went through with, you know, the war and losing people in his life and being alone, like his family members passing away. He is so inspiring to me. I love him. And I think there's just more to be revealed there about his life that I want to know about. Saint Therese the Little Flower. When I was about 18, she came to my attention, and somebody said that to me, Michelle, that very thing about her specifically. I went to a host home. I was on a traveling ministry team, and this woman had this deep devotion to Saint Therese, and she was telling me little things about her. And I said, "Where can I find out more about her?" And she just said, "Oh, you don't need to find her. She'll find you." And I was like, "Oh," that was when I was 18. And then all of a sudden, it was like everywhere I went, I saw her everywhere. Like there was stuff about her everywhere, you know? So she became like a very powerful intercessor in my life. And I have a story for another day about how that impacted my engagement and getting married. But currently I feel like St. Francis of Assisi has been calling me closer and wanting to speak into my life and intercede in a particular way as a reformer and a restorer. And, you know, my whole thing about foundations and rebuilding this year, that's my word for the year. So yeah, I feel like a calling to engage with him more. Sister, favorite saint.
Well, I was named after Saint Clare, so I've always, you know, felt very close to her and just her extraordinary call. But I think for me, for a long time, and they still continue to be two of my closest saint friends, is Saint Catherine of Siena and Saint Augustine. And both just lovers, just fierce lovers. And once again, those people, they speak the truth. They're very honest. They go in pursuit of God's heart for his people. I love how Catherine, you know, she's talking to the Pope and she's, you know, calling people out to their biggest destiny. And she just is so in love with the Lord, like just so in love with him and just so captivated by him. And you see Augustine, somebody who wrestles with the truth, somebody who wrestles with God's heart and who always comes back to the center of God's heart. And so they just ache with desire and they pour forth a resplendent beauty and a resplendent anointing of God's love and God's passion for his people. So I think they've always been, and I invite them often in my heart, just those two, especially Augustine and Catherine of Siena, just to intercede for me and accompany me and help me understand myself a lot of times. And I have the little tiny saints on my rosary, those two.
Oh, so nice.
They're two of my best friends for sure. But yeah. What about you, Michelle?
For me, yes, I can't pick one as usual. For me, Saint Teresa of Avila has always been huge for me. I love everything about her. I love her reforming spirit. I love her sassiness. You know, Lord, if this is how you treat your friends, no wonder you have so few. Like, you know, how she talks to the Lord. It was funny when I was at Franciscan University, one of the dear priests there, Father Sam TC's passed away, looked at me and he said, "You are Avila." He always used to call me Avila. And, you know, because, you know, I like French Cajun skin. He said, "You even look like her." I look like I'm Hispanic in a way. He said, "You even look like her, Michelle." He's like, and I always love that because I just loved him so much. And her writings have been huge to me always. And then, of course, at St. Therese, she's always been huge for us, me and my husband. Her feast day, there's so many big things that have happened on her feast day for our family, one of our children's birthdays, just different stuff like that. That's my baptismal day. I didn't even know that, you know, till later, the October 1st. So I love her. And I just love her tenacity, too. You know, when, you know, God says, "Which ones do you want?" She's like, "I want them all." You know, like, I want to be a martyr and a doctor. That's so my personality. Like, just give me everything. And the latest is St. Hildegard. And I think Sister both of us have discovered her in the last couple of years.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, girl, where have you been all my life?
She love her, yep.
Her writings, her tenacity also, her just varied degree of the things that she loves. Like, she was a musician and a gardener and a speaker and a reformer and head abbess. I mean, she was just so many different things, which I love because I have so many different interests and all of that. But just, I think she's like a hidden jewel that we haven't really even cracked the surface of discovering all of her beauty and grace shining through. So yeah, those are my three for right now. Okay, so next question, ladies.
I feel like you're on a job interview.
I am. Yeah. Okay. All right. What is favorite songs? What is your favorite worship song?
Oh my gosh. How are we supposed to choose one favorite worship song? It's too much.
Do you want me to go to the other question first and then come back to that one so you get a moment to think?
I'm afraid of the other one.
Okay, I'll just throw out a few. Okay. I'll just throw out a few because I can't possibly choose one favorite worship song. So I'll say things that have moved me in the last few years. Okay. The song So Will I that just came out, that song rocked me when I heard it. Like, that is so, so good. So Hillsong wrote it. Bethel also does a version of it. It's incredibly beautiful. Jesus, We Love You. That's just a sweet song. I find myself singing a lot, the chorus. That's a Bethel song. No Longer Slaves by Jonathan Helser. That's a beauty. That song is like a victory song. I love it. And I would say one song that's a little bit older, a worship song that I just have continually sang in a very heartfelt, like I just feel like I can always sing that song sincerely, is Hungry by Vineyard. It's an older one, but it just, I'm like, that's often my prayer. Like, I'll wait for you, Jesus, like, you know, come and satisfy and reach out to me in my hunger and my poverty. So yeah. Sister, favorite worship song?
Yeah, gosh. Well, I like how you frame that within the last few years, what's really moved you. I think the song It Is Well With My Soul.
That's
so good one. Come to the Altar. I love that one. I love how he loves us. And obviously Reckless Love. I think that was my one thing in the last couple of weeks. But I think, you know, one of my favorites is an oldie but a goodie. And we actually sang it at my dad's funeral as a processional hymn, or actually a recessional hymn, was the song How Great Thou Art.
Oh,
you know, then sings my soul out, my Savior, God to thee. That's such a glorious song. Every time I hear it, I love it.
I sing that in the shower at least once a week. I love that song.
It's so good. Yeah. So I think those are a few. I mean, obviously there's so many, but those ones that are I'll often listen to those, you know, just in times where I'm like, I need to, especially Come to the Altar lately. That's been, gosh, so beautiful for me. And the Reckless Love has been pursuing me as well. So, yeah.
I agree with all of yours. I would choose all of the ones that you have said. A couple more that I would add is I love Come Out of Hiding. Is it Stephanie Gritzer or is it Amanda Cook that sings that, Heather?
Stephanie.
I can't remember. But Come Out of Hiding, I love that one. And I love Break Every Chain by Tasha Cobbs.
Ooh, like, that's a good one.
That is just church to me, like total church. You know, I don't care how many times I've heard that song. I'm like, sing it, girl. We're having church up in here. You know, I just think it is a powerful song. There's just something so anointed about that song, so I love it. Okay, what is your favorite song that when you're in the car and you hear it, like, that helps you get your groove on? You're like, okay, roll the windows down, turn the radios up, this song is on, you know?
Well, from the 80s, it would be It Takes Two by Rob Bass.
Woo! It Takes Two to make a thing go right.
You know what's hilarious? Okay, in that movie, The Proposal, when they sing that, that just, like, kills me. It makes me laugh so hard. But that song came on the radio one day, and I didn't know this until a few years ago. I still know every single word.
Of course you do.
High school, I, like, remember every single word. So I'm singing it, and the kids are in the car with me, and they're like, what the heck, Mom? How do you know this song? Oh, so funny. A recent one to get my groove on would probably be Macklemore's Glorious. I love that song. Ooh, it's fun.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's great.
How about you, Michelle? You probably have a few.
I do have a few. I mean, I think, like, if you choose an 80s song, anything from Salt and Pepper, I would, like, totally, you know.
That would be, like, 90s, though, don't you think? Is that 90s?
Oh, I don't know. What decade are we in? 200?
Yeah,
no, whatever, I don't 90s. Know. And yeah, so 90s for sure. That would be...
You old girl. That's all I know.
Yeah, probably one of my favorites. And then anything usually like from Justin Timberlake will like make me, you know, pour the radio up. I like any kind of dance music though. I'm like, I'm not discriminating at all. And so, yeah, they're all kind of fun. I think right now that one from Shawn Mendes, Nothing's Holding Me Back. I love that song. But it's a lot of fun.
That's because he's Canadian and you kind of, you know, are drawn to me. That's why you love that.
Yeah, I really don't think that's it. Well, but, you know.
Because I was thinking our next question should be, what's your favorite thing about me? Well, I'm just kidding.
That's not a bad... Oh, friends, it's going all downhill from here.
Yeah, downhill.
Lent has been very long. It's going downhill.
It's going downhill. Michelle, do you have any final questions for us? Because we're kind of almost at the end of time.
Well, hold on, sister didn't name hers.
Oh, sorry. All right.
Oh, well, you know, that's funny because I've been listening to Spotify, like, 90s, a lot of 90s stuff, like everything from grunge to, you know, the song Bust a Move. Remember Bust a Move, that song?
Yeah, totally.
So good. And it was just funny because when you hear that music... I remember like in the car when I was a teenager, like where I was driving and just everything from like Nirvana to the Cranberries to like all kinds of stuff. It's just been funny listening to that and, you know, what God is doing. I do have to say I am a secret Taylor Swift fan. I do like her.
Oh,
her song,
love her.
Shake It Off. I'll crank that thing up anytime. Like it just makes me smile and laugh.
That's good.
Now the world knows I do listen to pop music. Some of it, you know, anyway, but. Yeah, so stuff like that. I do. I like to groove. I like to, you know, get it on. Turn it up in my room. Make sure the sisters, it doesn't bother them. But when they're not home, truth be told, friends, I crank it up and we rock in my little room, in my little convent. So
yes.
That is great.
Music is good for the soul. I mean,
it is good.
For sure. There's something that connects us to, I mean, one another, but very deeply to the divine, you know, in music as well.
Oh, it is great. We were driving the other day and the song Walking on Sunshine from Katrina and the Waves came on. And just that beginning, like, drum beat bass. I love the song. And my kids are looking at me like, what? I'm like, no, this is a really great song. You have to, like, dance. I love this song. So they thought it was great. Okay, last question of our little podcast before we do our one thing. I mean, the favorite things just keep on coming, people.
They just keep on coming.
Is what is your favorite spiritual book? Since we just finished Life of the Beloved, which was such a beautiful, beautiful book. We love Henry Nouwen. But what is your favorite spiritual book?
Oh, shoot. Okay, I need a minute. Sister, you go first.
I love anything by Father Jacques Philippe. It's so good. Like, his stuff is so good. I'm reading actually a book on the priesthood called In Sinu Jesu right now. It's a diary of a Benedictine priest whom God, Jesus, and Mary are speaking to. Is kind of like interior locutions. And that book has just even more deepened my love for the priesthood and for priests and just their call. It's just exquisite. So I've wept over many times about that book of just their, how much Christ loves them and how they're called to be conformed into his image and likeness through the indelible mark on their soul. So, but yeah, Father Jacques Philippe always just writes my soul. Whether it's searching for maintaining peace or interior freedom or time for God, I love anything by Father Jacques Philippe.
That's good. You go, Michelle.
For me, one that I probably read every year and have for the last couple of years is Orthodoxy by G.K. Chesterton. I love that book.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. And every time I read it, I pick something new. And it was so funny. My husband just read it for the first time. Just a little while ago, we'll start to read it. He goes, it really doesn't speak to me. Like, I can't get into this. And I'm like, if I'd known this before we got married, this could have been a decision breaker, right? Yeah. Like, how can you not love this book? I just love it. Yeah. G.K. Chesterton, I just love him. And one of the other ones that I read a lot is Madeline L'Engle's Walking on Water. And it's about faith and spirituality and art. And it is one, it's again, one of those ones I've read a lot of times, but I keep it by my bedside, actually, that and Orthodoxy, because I'll pick it up and it just speaks, different passages just speak to me in different ways in different seasons. So I just love both of them. But I mean, I have probably a bajillion books. So I mean, it's like choosing spiritual books.
I just want to testify to that reality that Michelle Bensinger has a bajillion books. And when I was staying at her house a few months ago, I went in the morning and laid on her bed and we drank coffee and her bed was covered with books. There's stacks of books all over her room. And I just loved every minute of it as we talked about anointing and coffee and books. It was great. So I do testify to the fact that Michelle Bensinger has a million books in her house. She does.
Yeah. I didn't know there bajillion was like a real number until I saw her books.
You're like, I'm pretty sure bajillion exists because I saw Michelle Benzinger's book collection.
Thank you. Exactly.
I keep on telling Chris, I was like, if you really love me, you'll build, you know, we have high ceilings in our house because it's an old farmhouse, like 12 and 14 foot ceilings. I was like, I need head to toe bookcases. And he's like, you would just fill them up. I'm like, baby, I've already filled them up, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that is why we, you know, Beauty and the Beast is one of my favorite Disney movies because he gave her a library. That is true love, people. That is true love, you know?
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm. So
for me, one of my favorite spiritual books in recent years, this again is a question that's too hard for me because I feel like there's so many different categories of what I would say was good for me at different times that impacted me. But a consistent one I go back to, strangely, is Strengthen Yourself in the Lord by Bill Johnson. That book is just, especially for leaders, like it is just full of so many practical things. And that's why I liked it. Like a lot of spiritual books are so deep and they cause us to reflect. And that is really, really important. But they don't offer a lot of like, here's what you need to do practically or here's what I did. Whereas in this book that he does that a lot, which I really appreciated. But oh, yeah, so many good spiritual classics that I love. Mm. The Little Prayer Book Miracle Hour. That one I've used at different times in my life that has been super helpful. And it's just like a tiny little thing.
Okay. And now is the time where I hand it back over to Sister Miriam to do our one thing.
I think we just did like 101 things.
We did. I know. Didn't we do like, yeah, we just did like 101 things. So do we still want to do one thing or should we just figure that's the one thing of the one thing?
Okay. Like we're okay. Let's just do. Right, what's your one scripture that's anchored your life? Obviously, there's many. Oh. But just pick one. Just pick one.
Dang, girl. We should pay you more, Heather. Thanks for just pulling us out in the clutch right there. That
okay,
was like
I'll do.
Huge.
I'll do mine. Okay, so mine. It's because I already have an answer.
You punk. She's like, whatever. She's like taking notes on the side, like overachiever. Oh my gosh.
Okay, for sure, Isaiah 61, which is the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That has been like amazing. But the second one I would say, which has been super powerful in my life, is Psalm 18. And I love it because it's talking about like being bound and afraid and calling out to the Lord. And it's like, from the temple, he heard my voice and the earth rocked and shook. And it just is like this very detailed description of like this furious love of God as he comes down to save. And then at the end, it's like he drew me out of the waters and he set me free and he rescued me because he loves me. So that Psalm 18, if you haven't read it, go right ahead. It's a good one.
You just go right ahead and do that, people.
You go right
ahead
and
try it. And
that's true
too. Like, the scripture passages, right, that also speak to us, also really many times speak to our own destiny and what God is doing in our life as well. I think for me, it's for a long time, it's been John 10:10, where Jesus says, it's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you might have life and have it to the full, have it abundantly. So that abundant life is something that always burns in my own soul of, you know, just never settling and just keep aching, keep yearning, keep growing, keep allowing Christ to come and fill me, stretch me, you know, bring me out of myself and into him. So that one for sure. And because I didn't get to answer the question that nobody asked of what's your favorite food, I just want to say tacos. That's all. That's all I wanted to say is tacos, people.
Darn, I picked the wrong one to end with.
Thanks for playing, Michelle.
Michelle's like, queso. It's her favorite
food. It is
food.
Queso. Yeah. It
Michelle's
really
like,
is.
I'm not going to play with you guys anymore. I'm taking my ball and going home.
Yeah. And so, no, I love you way too much because I would be eating queso while you're eating your tacos.
Yeah.
For me, it's probably, I mean, it changes. Like, I mean, all of us are, we're like a huge lover of scripture. So Isaiah 61 is a big one for us. Isaiah 58, that was in our wedding. If this is not the fast I chose for you, I love that one to sing. It's probably the beginning of Ephesians. I think it's Ephesians 3. May you be rooted and grounded in love. You know, may you know the depth and the width, the length of his love for you. And then it's Ephesians 3:20. May he do exceedingly more than you can ever imagine and possible. So, you know, of course, I love that whole part of Ephesians chapter 3. But, you know, there's so many that I love. So, but those would be some of the ones that are rooted in my heart. So there. Thank you very much. Favorite things. Ha ha ha.
We should have the song.
My favorite thing. My favorite thing right now is the neighbor mowing the lawn. So sorry about that, people.
I know. I was like, where are the birds chirping? Like, who just opened their window? So nice.
No, it's the neighbor. Hi, neighbor. Anyway, sorry.
That's great.
Well, dear listeners, thank you so much and happy Easter to you. And if you enjoyed our podcast episode, please share it with a friend. You can find us on iTunes and leave us a rating, leave us a review. You can find us on abidingtogetherpodcast.com. Click on any of the pictures for any of our episodes and you can hear the episode. And you can also see discussion questions, journaling questions. And maybe it's a great time this week to ask some people in your life, what a great dinner conversation of what are some of your favorite things? And then why as well, too. There's always a reason why. So thank you so much for joining us on the journey. And we've enjoyed every minute of it. So you, I think our listeners, we'd have to say, ladies, are our favorite things. Huh? Our favorite people, I guess we could say. Our favorite. God bless all of you. Have a wonderful week. We'll be abiding together. See you next time.